Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to professional skateboarder Sean Hale's episode. Sean was highly recommended by Norman Woods and Hillary. And my favorite part of his episode was when he talked about meeting Tony Hawk for the first time. Thanks for checking in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time ever on the show, professional skateboarder Sean Hale.
What's up?
What up? Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I said before, I said earlier, we don't have a lot of skaters on here, but whenever we do have them, it's always a treat. I love having the skaters on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we mentioned Hillary was on here before.
Oh, yeah, Hillary.
And you guys are from the same state, Missouri?
Yeah, she actually grew up like an hour away from where
I'm from. Mm-hmm. And then how did you, is there a lot of skating in Missouri?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot. My little town, I don't know. Yeah, my little town had like two skate parks, which was abnormal.
Well,
how far do I need to hold?
Oh,
this
yeah, this is fine.
Okay.
This is fine.
I was wondering that the whole time. Yeah.
Oh, what town is that?
Joplin, Missouri.
Shout out to Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the demographic like, race wise? Is there a lot? Because you're half Asian as well.
Yeah,
right?
I'm half Asian. Yeah, there weren't any Asians really. It was just like mostly like white kids, I guess.
Yeah. What was it like growing up being like half Asian?
Asian?
Mostly white.
I didn't even notice it. Yeah, I didn't notice any like anything really. It wasn't abnormal to me, you know?
At all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. How did you get into skateboarding?
My sister.
My dad
skated. My dad's from California, and so he skated here, and he always had like a banana board, you know?
Yeah, I remember those bananas. Yeah.
And so I had always had one of those sitting around the house, but I never really skated on it. And then my sister wanted a regular board for Christmas one year. And then after she got that, I realized what it was. Because it, like, growing up in a small town in the middle of the country, you don't see people skating down the street.
At all, right?
And then Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out, and then I could tell skateboarding was more fun than, I mean, what I had known.
Dude, that game just brings up so many memories.
Yeah.
On the first PlayStation.
Oh, for sure.
Putting it in. I remember I always choose Chad Muska.
Yeah.
Boombox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did that game kind of open your eye? Because you probably learned tricks like the
names. I didn't realize what you could do on a skateboard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea. I just thought it was something that you could roll across the living room. That was my perspective because I had no clue. And then
it just, your mind was blown.
Then I saw my sister started bringing home like posters of guys doing tricks, and I was like, what?
Whoa,
is
that's
that
weird. Like, but what, out of magazines or
just from magazines or skate shops or something.
Mm-hmm,
and she put them on the walls, and I was always like, damn, those are sick. But I still didn't really know anything about it.
Yeah.
And then the game came out, and then I saw that, and I saw the skate videos in it. You remember all like the secret,
the secret tape.
Yeah, and then you get to watch like skateboarders or whatever.
Yeah, I remember
that.
That
was the first time I even really knew.
Do you remember that level? I think it was the main level. It was just like the warehouse.
Yeah.
And there was like half pipes in it, and then like flat rail.
Lot 22.
Exactly.
Or like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent so many hours in there just.
Me too.
Yeah. Messing around.
I actually only had do you remember no one will probably remember this, but the games that would come in the mail like it would be like a demo disc.
Oh yeah, yeah, the CD demo disc, yeah. And then you would put it.
That's
in.
All I had.
It was like it would have like just one level of the thing.
So that's all I had was that one level.
I think
of that.
I had the demo too. That's why I kept playing that yeah, same. We're same. Stuck in there, right?
Yep.
But you could do all the trick, or you could like learn all the yeah. functions of the game.
Yeah.
So you got Tony Hawk, and then when did you get your first legit board with grip tape? And hey, Dad, I want to do this.
I guess probably shortly after. I don't know. For Christmas, I think I
How old were you?
I was probably 12 whenever I first got that. Maybe yeah. 13.
God, I'm an old man because I remember I was in college.
Really? Damn.
When that was going on. I remember I lived in the shady.
I thought we'd be like the same age.
Oh, no. I'm an old man. I'm old. I just remember I lived in this complex and my apartment was like the drug party house. And I just remember it got to the point where people would just be going in and out and partying. And then I would just ignore them all. And I would just be
play Tony.
Yeah.
Hawk.
I would just be playing Tony. That's sick. That's all the so time. Funny. And I just, I was oblivious to all of the debauchery that was happening in my apartment.
Yeah.
But, let's go back
so
to you.
Either good or bad.
I guess both. I have no idea. I was just, if the homies, whatever they did, just don't go in my room. So you got your board, and what do you remember the first time you stood on the board? And
I remember the first time I was with somebody that knew how to ollie, and I was like,
did that blow your mind?
Yeah, yeah, because
my mind too.
Yeah,
yeah,
because it wasn't my friend, it was his brother. He's like, I'm gonna go get my brother, he's gonna show us that he can ollie. And then from that point I was like obsessed. I was like, I have to be able to do that, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously can't do it right away. So
how did you learn? Because now I mean, you're like mastery levels. Some of your stuff I'm like, oh, he backtailed that whole thing above the steep ass embankment. But how
Thanks,
did
bro.
You like learn? Like, what was the progression like?
Just being obsessed with it, I guess. And I was 13 whenever I started, so that's a little late, especially for a pro skater. Usually pro skaters.
What?
Yeah.
Back then, that would be unheard of.
I know. I mean,
early back then was high school. But you're saying 13 is...
I mean, for a professional skateboarder?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, not... You can't really be that much older than that to... Because it takes a while for you to, like, really... develop it or whatever. But and usually whenever you're a kid, you can pick up on everything so much quicker. So whenever you're like 7, I feel like a lot of pro skateboarders are like started whenever they're like 7 or less.
You know what, you're right, because if you look at the Baker, like the new Baker kids,
they're
a
all
lot
young,
younger,
like Cater.
yeah
so, I mean, yeah, it definitely helps.
That's really interesting to think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's all different out here.
Wait, in California?
Yeah, it's so different.
Like, tell me the differences.
Everybody's skating. Like, you see skateboarders all the time. You see skate parks and people doing tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
So whenever you're a little kid, I don't know, you got parents that skate all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. So California people are pretty spoiled, like kind of lucky.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, when you in Missouri, when you because you probably learned your first tricks there, like, so how did you evolve and meet your crew of dudes? And
well, I guess, yeah, that's I just ended up I had a group of friends in school, like middle school,
mm-hmm.
and then I started skating, and my group of friends just completely changed to pretty much just the skateboarders because that's all we cared about.
Yeah,
like pretty
no girls
pretty quickly. No, not really. I mean,
yeah, that
dude,
came
I was
later.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I'm half Asian. I mean, yeah. We're probably all small in high school or
well,
middle
I
school.
I didn't get any action in high school. I didn't lose my virginity until college, like
damn
sophomore junior of college. Yeah,
that's cool though.
Yeah,
I had a prom night.
Okay. Oh, good for you.
But I didn't go to prom.
Oh, so but it was prom night.
It was prom night. Yeah.
Who's the lucky girl?
Her name was Cassie.
Okay, good. Shout out to Cassie.
Yeah.
Okay, if she watches. So you kicked it with your core group of skater homies, and you probably got better that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there weren't kids that were super good, like
mm-hmm.
a bunch, like there are here. So I just none of us really knew how to skate.
Yeah.
The guys that I first started skating with. So we just dicked around. And then luckily, a skate park had just been built in my town because of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Like,
was it indoor?
Yeah.
Oh, those are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Were there self-made, like, wooden prop?
It was like, it was all metal.
It was metal?
Yeah. It was called The Bridge.
Oh, that's
what's like up. It was like a Christian skate park, and that was like their youth outreach.
Oh, so they have Bible studies, then mm-hmm. skate afterwards?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Were you you're good. Were you involved in church camps and all that?
I was when I was younger, but mm-hmm. not anymore.
You kind of, not anymore. Mm-mm. Yeah. So that was a breeding place just for progression then, once yeah. that park.
Mm-hmm. And that, because it was a church, it probably kept me out of trouble too.
Yeah, yeah, for so sure, cool. for sure.
Because a lot of my, like, all the kids I grew up with that were, like, in the same skating level or better than me,
mm-hmm.
it was just, like, drugs took them all out. Or, not all of them, but...
Not weed, though. I mean, because a lot of skaters smoke yeah. weed and drink, but you're talking about drugs.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just... Growing up in small towns, a lot of people start dealing drugs, like...
Yeah, yeah,
gnarlier
yeah.
drugs and...
Well, what was the drug of choice in Missouri there? Is there like a specific one?
Definitely meth.
I was gonna say meth. Yeah. I was going to just guess meth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I think my hometown was actually the meth capital of yeah. the country or the world or something were at one
in,
point.
Were kids in high hometown. School smoking meth?
Not that I knew of. I knew people were doing coke or whatever, but I don't know about meth in high school. But I did know a skater that got into meth from where Hillary's from. In Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. I knew a couple. Like, that was... I think that happened to their skate crew. Like, a lot of them got into meth.
Meth.
Yeah.
Now, did they skateboard on meth?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That would work out. I mean, I know people could smoke, skate on
probably
weed.
Give you energy.
Some people might,
I just...
Yeah.
All I know is that it just, like, stopped them from skating.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because I'd go to Springfield and be like, where are these guys? Like, and then they just... They were always there, and then they just kind of disappeared.
Stopped, yeah. When did you learn? So when did you start getting your ollie down, and when did you like learn the kickflip and all that?
Dude, it took me like, you can kickflip, right?
Yeah, it took me forever.
10 months.
It took me longer.
Really?
Yeah, it took me way longer. But I remember when I landed it, it was like an outer body experience.
Right.
It was in Arizona because I had my group of homies there.
That's sick.
And they wouldn't let me leave the parking structure till I landed it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to try it again, bro. They're like, just stand over. Just, you're not committing. Just stand yeah. over it. Jump over it. And then
jump.
I'm like, I just went, and then it was really sketchy, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, I rocketed it, but I like, it flipped somehow. And then I'm like, And I'm like, and they're like, they all lifted me up, like I won,
day.
Like scored the touchdown or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's yeah. a good feeling. I remember, dude, it took me 10 months because I had no idea what I was doing. And my friends in my school didn't know how to kickflip either.
Well, no one did because you're the best guy in the world if you do that. That
yeah.
was like a legendary tale in the town. Like, oh, he knows how to kickflip. And it was like the lock, Bigfoot or something.
Yeah.
It's like, no way.
Now, like, every kid tray flips.
Oh, yeah,
the
they
easiest.
Switch.
But I remember I was just skating because there was a sidewalk in front of my house that I would just skate, like, the cracks. That's all I skated. Mm-hmm. And this kid skated by, and so he came over, and we, like, fucked around, and I immediately asked him, like, can you kickflip? Because I'd been trying so hard.
Yeah.
And he showed me a kickflip, and I tried one, and he was like, oh, dude, all you need to do is jump. And I was like, jump? And I was like, what? Never tried that. I don't know how.
Oh, because you were flipping it?
I was flipping it, but I didn't know that you had to jump with your back foot, you know?
Right, 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 right.
So anyways, he told me that, and I think it took me 3 tries.
Really?
And then I did like 10 in a row, and then I was obsessed, you know?
So you had it down?
I think I had worked on flipping it so hard. I was just like kicking my board out and flipping it.
Yeah.
That,
You goofy?
Once, yeah.
Yeah.
So once I knew to jump with my back foot, like, it's so obvious, but I didn't know. Then it was easy.
So once you learned that, you were hooked, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then how, because, you know, you've actually, you're pro now, you're professional now. How did it get to a point from that moment to, like, learning all this other stuff?
So I started skating with this Christian skate company in my hometown, and they would take me around the country.
What's the name of it?
It was called Untitled Skateboards.
Shout out to Untitled Skateboards. That's a positive thing that they're doing for the,
yeah,
the community.
For sure. Yeah.
And the kids. Yeah.
It was super cool. But Judd, he took me all around the country.
Who's Judd?
Judd Heald. He's a pro skater.
Okay.
He owns that Untitled Skateboards.
Okay, that's what's up.
Farm Boy.
Yeah. So that was like your first sponsor then, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, so he would take me around the country and we'd do demos, and I guess it just helped me progress, or I don't know, continue doing skateboarding. Yeah. Like, because I think a lot of the problem for, you know, a lot of kids want to skate professionally, but they don't get opportunities to do anything like outside of
their normal area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess I was in the middle of nowhere and I had this opportunity like given
to travel.
To me, so yeah. And I was poor. So
you grew up poor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So like traveling was not a thought to me. And then, so he's like, oh, you want to go to Florida? I was like,
fuck yeah. So that's interesting because especially with a sport, or like, I wouldn't even say a sport, but just an activity or art form like skateboarding, it takes money if you're not sponsored, right?
Yeah.
So how were you getting by before that? Like, cause it's expensive, wheels, bearings, trucks.
Just buying stuff for my friends, or actually,
you getting hand-me-down flow?
Yeah,
like here you go, homie. Like, here's
mm-hmm.
some trucks.
Or I would like get $10 and buy a board from somebody, like an old board.
Oh,
that was pretty much it. But
right.
Also, the skate park had contests,
and then
it would be like a beginner contest, but you get a skateboard.
You get a board if you win.
And so that's how I got my boards most of the time. Oh, and then I'd get
crazy.
A board for Christmas.
Yeah. And then what about wheels and bearings and all the other stuff?
Pretty much hand-me-down or get it for Christmas.
Yeah.
I'd get boards from my parents on Christmas, and then the rest of the year I pretty much just try to find used stuff for my friends.
Did you have your own method as far as like Q-tipping like your bearings or like like bearing cleaning?
No, not really.
Stuff like that.
Did you?
Like rubbing alcohol? Yeah, like you would like with the Q-tip.
I did like WD-40, but
yeah, that's what I meant, like stuff like that.
Yeah,
that helps
a little
out,
bit,
right?
yeah.
I always wondered that. It's like you're a scientist and you're like,
I mean,
taking apart your stuff. And
I did, but
yeah,
I don't remember specifically having like a routine or anything.
Right. So you're skating with this this company. When did you get to a point where you started migrating out here or like meeting other people in the industry and to where you're at now?
I guess because I would travel with that company, I started getting flow from other companies. Mm. And then I would just go to these contests in Tampa, Florida. Mm. And I kind of...
The Tampa Am?
Tampa Am,
yeah.
And then eventually I started getting flow from other companies and then just linking with those people.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I guess, man, I lived in Missouri until I was 22.
Damn.
Yeah. Because actually, I mean, it's kind of a crazy story. I got married in Missouri.
You got married?
Yeah. The story
are you still married?
Always comes up. No.
Okay.
I got divorced. I was only married for like 6 months.
Yeah.
I almost had a baby.
Damn.
But she had a miscarriage.
Oh,
but
damn.
So then after that, then I left Missouri and I just drove to California, which I should have done whenever I was 18.
That was
my plan, but I don't know.
How did you end that relationship with
by leaving Joplin. I just left and came here. But no, it was gonna end. Like we knew that we were splitting up because I was 22 and she was 20.
High school sweetie?
Kinda. It was like right after high school.
Oh man, yeah. Because your life would be completely different now if you had a kid and you're in Missouri.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that didn't happen because you're out here and you're on Birdhouse now.
Yeah.
Things are doing good for you.
Yeah, so I just ended up, I left Missouri and then I got to California. I didn't call anybody or like know where I was going whenever I left. I didn't tell anybody.
So you had a duffel bag?
I just, I put stuff in my car and I just drove straight out. And then I called somebody when I was in Arizona and was like, hey, I'm coming to California. Can I stay with you? And he was like, I'm out of town, but you can crash in my room. I was like, okay.
Skater dude?
Yeah, another skater.
Yeah. And so that helped out. Shout out to him who did offer that.
Zach.
So you had a place to crash. then what happens when you're out here? How do you make do?
Just meeting up with people that I had met from the sponsors that I got from skating those contests.
And they're out here.
Yeah. And then, so I would skate with them, like David Loy. I skated with him a lot because he lived.
I've seen him at the laundromat up the street.
Oh, really? Yeah, he stands out.
Yeah. I was just staring at him, and I go, that guy looks familiar. Yeah. That guy rips.
Yeah, yeah, he does. He's tall.
He's tall. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so tall him. Guy.
Yeah, so he was just a kid, and he lived right by me. So we just went and skated everywhere. And then he always filmed with the Birdhouse filmer. And then, so I would film with the Birdhouse filmer. And then it just ended up working out.
Yeah. When did you meet Willie?
Shortly, probably before I got on Birdhouse with David. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Willie's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know Willie. Not a lot of this other stuff would be happening.
He's a legend.
Kind of laid down
the
foundation of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Even me being from Poway, San Diego, that name was just legendary.
Yeah.
Who is this kid?
Reigned the contest, right?
He was very consistent, yeah.
Yeah, he just land everything.
He land everything, yeah.
Or more specifically, not fall. Because I don't think I've ever seen Willie fall.
Fall. I think you're right. I think he won it with all the contests.
Like, for most skateboarders, you fall, like, more than you don't fall. You're just used to falling all the time. But I never see Willie fall.
Yeah. And he's still ripping, right?
Yeah.
Willie's workshop.
Uh-huh.
I remember I was just getting into it, and I had my board at Webb Park, and this kid walked up to me, and he only came up because he thought I was Willie. Really? And then he goes, oh, you're not, I thought you were Willie. And then he just skated off.
That's funny.
I go, oh, okay, yeah. But yeah, that's a good, you know, I remember that first video, the end, and how iconic, because it was like filmed like a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, like Andrew's part and Willie's part. Mm-hmm. And like, it was like a movie. And I'm like, how weird is that you skate for that company now? Like,
it's great. It's a trip. Yeah, for sure.
So how did you fully get on there?
I got asked to skate for them at a contest, and it's so funny because I wanted to skate for them. I had wanted to for years.
Yeah.
And when they asked me, I was skating for this New York company called Fiboro.
Oh, wow. I've heard of that.
Steve Rodriguez.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Is Ricky on there? Ricky Iola? No, that's, he was on something else. Sorry.
I should know that. I'm fried.
I'm sorry. I don't remember. I just think in East Coast.
Yeah. I'm fried.
Yeah. Don't know much about it. Yeah.
But anyways, with Fibora, I pretty much knew that it wasn't really going to go anywhere. I was just getting like hooked up because Steve was the man. Mm-hmm. But, so then I got asked to ride for Birdhouse, and it like took me a minute to decide. I don't even know why. But
how does that work? Do you send them an email? Do you send them a tape? Like, how does that work?
I was just skating at a contest, and it was just friends of friends, you know?
Oh,
and then I think he just tapped me on the shoulder and was like, hey, do you want to skate for Birdhouse or something? Or maybe it might've been a phone call after. I can't really remember, but
that's crazy.
Like, it's crazy for me to think back about it and like be pretty hesitant. I think it took me like a week to decide.
Yeah.
But it's funny. But anyways, so I started getting boards from them, and then one day I went into their office.
Where is it, in San Diego?
In San Diego, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like Encinitas or Vista.
Right.
But yeah, I met Tony, which was a trip, like, because if you skate, everybody asks you if you know Tony.
People who don't skate,
you know Tony Hawk. Or everybody
they know
has
who Tony Hawk is. Yeah.
Everybody has their Tony Hawk joke.
Yeah.
But
was he cool? Was it like meeting him?
It was a trip because he said my name whenever I met him, and I was just like, I don't know, tripped out about that. He was like, hey, Sean. I was like, oh, you know my name? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I was just getting flow for Birdhouse at the time. It was like brand new, so I didn't.
How does that work? Like, what's in a flow package and stuff? Like, what do you?
Flow.
Yeah. Explain to people who are non skaters what that is.
With whenever you get sponsored by a company, the first thing they do is they flow you, mm-hmm. and that's
free product.
They just
right?
give you free product, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. yeah, like skate our stuff or put our stickers on your board or whatever.
So and what then, does that entail? So it's like two boards a month, a board, some grip tape.
Honestly, I don't even know, like
three boards a month
or it yeah. just depends because every company is different. There's mm-hmm. a lot of brands that might operate on a smaller budget or
right,
something. So
right,
they might
right,
just
right,
give
right,
you
right.
a board or three or mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, so then once you're flow for a while, it's kind of like a trial or whatever. And then to turn AM is actually super
stressful,
difficult. It's just, you have to, because that's whenever the company says like, okay,
we're putting money
fully
in
like
investing in
backing you and we're going to support you and hope that you continue your career or whatever.
Yeah.
You
know? So it's a lot of pressure, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just weird, like.
What kinds of pressures? I mean, just for the just, viewers and listeners, like, what kind of added pressures are there?
Well, of course, like how well you skate, but also like social pressures, like.
What do you mean social pressures? How you act in front of like.
Yeah, like how you get along with people, especially on the team, like that, because it matters so much how well you get along with everybody.
If you don't get along with one particular person, well, that could kill your career.
Yeah, maybe. And then like whenever you're first skating with companies, sometimes people are like if you're flow, sometimes people will like mess with you, but like just like toying around, because you spend a lot of times going on road trips
mm-hmm.
and you're in a van with like eight dudes for
you gotta get,
hours.
It's like a band, being in a band. Yeah. You have to get along with your bandmates.
Mm-hmm. And you like fuck around with each other or yeah. whatever. And sometimes like you can't fuck around with somebody. They get like pissed or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then so it brings like a bad vibe or something. And I don't know.
There's probably been a lot of careers that have been kind of fucked because of that.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but you got along with everyone, right?
Yeah, I got along with
yeah.
everybody.
And so,
I mean, we all yeah. have our moments, but for
well,
the most part,
know.
It was like chill.
Yeah. Everyone doesn't get along at all times.
Yeah.
But
especially like every mood.
And you're
in the
van with these fucking people?
Across the country, 24 hours.
Pranks.
Yeah.
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 So when did it solidify? Like you're totally in. Like.
Well, okay. So the first trip I ever did with Birdhouse was this Europe trip. And I remember it was right when I got on flow and I was told that I wasn't going to be able to go. And because I was just flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did this little show, this like TV show for Field TV.
I remember Field TV, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot what's the show? I'm spacing it right now. Where they build ramps. Man, I can't believe I can't remember.
Yeah, Jeff King had a couple.
Yeah,
of
Jeff King's show.
Yeah, sorry. God, it's
Built to Shred.
Built to Shred.
But anyways, so I went, Tony asked me if I wanted to skate that. I think it was the day that I met him. I was like, yeah, I'm down. Like, it was at his house, and so I was like, okay, that's cool. And so we do that show, and it's like they come and built these ramps behind his house over his pool.
Jeez.
And his pool's like, yeah, it was crazy.
I'm just thinking like a gnarly vert thing.
Yeah, it was
going
like,
into something.
Yeah, it was like a 12 or 13 foot roll in to give you speed, and then there was like a 12 foot wall that went over his pool.
Yeah.
So there was like a gap in between the water and the ramp, and you had to carve it a certain distance, otherwise you would hit this ledge like the size
yeah.
of this desk, this big rock ledge. So if you didn't charge like all the way over it, or like get your body all the way over it, you would hit the corner of this
and
rock ledge.
Fucked up.
Yeah, it would like it'd I don't know,
mess you up.
Yeah, so it was kind of sketchy. Nobody really tried except Tony, and then I got pressured
you
into
got
it.
Pressured, didn't
yeah.
You? When did it hit you? Where didn't he ask you, are you gonna try it?
Yeah, yeah. I was standing on top of the Roland with him, and then he just looked at me. He's like, well, are you going to do it? I was like, yeah, I want to. And he's like, well, there's not really any space up
here. That's like a movie.
Yeah.
It's like that moment of truth.
Dude, it really was.
Was it adrenaline pumping?
Dude, I was sweating bullets. Like,
oh, so.
And then he looked at me and he's like, well, there's no space up here. And I was just like,
that was even more.
And yeah, I was like, okay, well, I got to stop being a pussy. Because I think I was up there for like 5 minutes and like too scared to do it. And then,
yeah.
Yeah, but he pressured me into it, and then it just ended up working. But I got to see him do it, and like a lot of the other guys didn't really try, but you could see how Tony was trying it, like just full speed, get his body over it, and so yeah. it just made it easy.
So what happened your first attempt?
It just worked.
Oh, you made it over?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's so good for you, man.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was so nervous.
Yeah. I mean,
nowadays I'd be like juiced. I don't know. Looking back at it, I'm like, that thing looks fun, but
yeah. But back then,
at that
you
point,
were,
yeah. I
so
just
when
didn't know.
That's interesting. You brought that up. When did like? Because obviously you're always progressing. When did it get to a point when your mindset changed like that? Where you're like, oh, I'll just try that.
Probably.
Because
like,
your skating's gnarly. Like it's not like normal. Like your skating's like you do like big stuff. And,
maybe it was probably like six or seven years ago, or maybe 5 years ago, but. I feel like, so at that point I was skating for like 15 years or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe about that. And I feel like after you've been doing something for like 10 to 15 years, you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, my eye was twitching. Yeah, sorry. Something with my eye, sorry.
But I feel like...
what did it look like? I was like...
You're just winking at me a bunch.
There's something in my eye. It's like a salt, like some poisonous... stinging salt drop. It was like, sorry, I know the camera caught it too.
Yeah,
but I mean, they've seen me do crazy stuff on camera. Like I'll pick mine. Maybe I've eaten boogers. I don't know. I don't care. Yeah,
no shame.
This format's like anything goes. We don't edit.
Yeah,
this is just whatever you see, you get.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But continue with your.
Well, anyways, like after you've been doing something for 12 years, mm-hmm, it just kind of clicks. Or
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not saying that it. Like everything clicks for me, but like with skating, I at least understand how to make my body do things. Whereas there was a point where it was kind of like you're just going for it and you're flailing, like trying to learn how to do something you have no idea. And I feel like now it's kind of like I can see it. And I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's exactly as you would. So I guess growing up skating, you see it, you think you can do it, but your body just doesn't respond.
Yeah, I could totally relate to that. Especially like backside tricks, like back. Mm-hmm. I still can't backside tail. I don't know how your body.
I think it's just something about.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My brain won't allow my body
to do it.
To do that motion or something. It's weird, but it's interesting.
I still have some tricks that like. I just can't do. I think it's like, I think it's your muscles, like
muscle memory,
like
or
even
something?
Just little tiny muscles in your feet and like,
yeah,
the way you move, your shoulders. And like, I feel like there's a big disconnect whenever you're first skating to getting your body to move how you want it to. And then to where, if you've been skating for like 15 years,
it just automatically does that.
You're just way more in control of like the tiny movements that.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. That's interesting. A lot of people don't talk about that in depth about skateboarding. So,
yeah.
So what does that stem from? Your brain not allowing your body to do that kind of movement, or?
I feel like your brain, your mind blocks you from doing stuff. Whether it's like fear,
yeah,
or also it's like the speed at which you can move your arms or your legs or whatever, you know.
So are you saying that reflex is a big part of skateboarding,
like reaction
time? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, because after you skate,
it's interesting. Yeah,
yeah, you definitely learn a lot of I guess reflexes where you just naturally move a certain way. So like now I can land a trick and it be super sketchy, but I'm just so used to the way it feels to like roll away that like I'll let myself
be in that vulnerable situation
and not kick it out or not bail it, because
wow, that's interesting.
You get used to it.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because like a lot of people just like, you see these tutorials and stuff like trick tips, but they don't talk about that aspect as far as the psychology behind it,
yeah,
and like allowing your brain to work through certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of the tricks that you're struggling? Cause you, I thought yeah.
Like for me, a switchback tail, it just does not work. If I'm trying to on a ledge, like I can't get a switchback tail to go into
in lock in yeah. to the ledge.
But I could do a switchback lip, but it, or a switchback over crook, but I can't do a switchback tail. I don't know why I can't. I mean, I do know why. It's because my switch ollie sucks.
Right, right, right. Explain to the viewers and listeners what that is. They might not, because this could be alien jargon to
them. Oh, yeah. An ollie, you know, an ollie is jumping, and then mm-hmm. switch is just doing it
the opposite stance. So you're goofy, so that's a then you would be trying to do a regular stance mm-hmm. back tail.
Yeah, so slide. Goofy, normally my left foot is on the tail, mm-hmm. and if I'm going switch, it'll be my right foot that's on the tail.
Onto the ledge. That's going onto the ledge, right?
Yeah, like yeah. popping. The foot that you pop with.
I don't know how to do any of it. Like, as far as the back tail, I could do no slides, but I can't do any of the tail slide stuff. Could you do something where, would it be easier to like pop it with like a nollie and then go into it like that?
To a back tail?
Yeah.
For you?
No, I'm just saying in general for someone who can't get in.
Yeah, I mean, that could be easier. It's just, I think it's just about repetition, like just how many times you try it.
Right, right, right. That's so interesting. Oh, give me another example. This is interesting to me as far as...
Of tricks that I don't know how to
that
do.
You're struggling, yeah.
That's it, pretty much.
Oh, just
that's I got all the rest. No, I'm just kidding.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Certain flip tricks, just my switch flips, they could be better, man. They could be a lot better. I think it's just like I really like skating fakie.
Yeah.
And you know what it was is in my hometown, my homie DJ Fort, he was like good. Yeah. So good. And he was really good at nollie. And
Willie's good too. Paulo Diaz. Those dudes nollie, yeah.
But because he was good at nollie, I didn't want to do the same thing as him, so I just skated fakie. So everything I did was fakie. Everything he did was nollie.
Now, do people...
But he can do the fake stuff, too.
Because skaters, there's, like, a cool factor, right? Like, the cool tricks. Like, what's, like... Do people look down on fakie stuff?
No, I don't think so.
Do people look at fakie the same as they would at nollie?
I feel like...
It's a different stance?
A lot of people... It seems like a lot of people think fakie can be more difficult or less... More rare, I guess, because a lot of people will skate, do like nollie tricks because you're still going
backwards
the same direction.
Yeah, the same direction.
And that's more comfortable for some people.
Right, right. What are some of your favorite fakie tricks that you like doing?
I like doing fakie backlips a lot. Do you know what that is? It's like a nollie front board.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I pictured that. Yeah, fakie. So you're going that way, then you would go boom, and then you get on a lip slide. Yeah.
It just feels really good to do.
I could do that into a nose slide.
Really?
It looks like a back tail. See, that's the thing.
I never really learned that.
Like a back tail, but it's really not a back tail slide.
It's like a switchback tail.
It is, but it's fakey. So you could trick people like at the park or something. They might think it's a tail slide, but it's really not a tail slide. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying though, right? Uh-huh. You're going fakey. And then I just did it because I'm like, okay, well, I'll just look backwards and then I'll just guess. I kind of cheated. Like someone told me at the skate park, like, how do you know how to like, how far of a distance board wise you need from the ledge?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, just put up your board and measure it like the length of it.
Hmm.
Like, let's say your board's this long and the ledge is here. So you would probably be like right here.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what they told me. They're like, well, just measure the length of the board.
Logical.
And then, so I'm like, oh, okay. So
I've never really thought about
that. Because I was afraid that I would overestimate
it. That's perfect for fakie front nose slides. Like that method for fakie front nose slide is great.
That's how I learned it though. Because he's like, don't in your mind, just make sure you're at that distance. And then I'm like, okay, so just make sure I'm like I, you know, I kind of measured it. I didn't want to like look like a goofball and like, you know, measure it in front of people at the park.
Yeah.
But I was like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I tried it a couple times. I'm like, and I didn't commit, but I was like, kind of like, pap, and I got it on there stepped off. And I'm like, okay, well, at least I know I'm not overestimating it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't slide it too far because I shove it out of it, you know, but it's like, it felt good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've done that trick. Maybe in a game of skate or something.
But you're saying a lip slide, so you fakie lip getting the whole board over there.
Well, the back trucks.
The back trucks. Huh.
It's a little more commitment.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get your trucks over it, then you just pretty much go straight to your tailbone or your like back.
Where do you put your weight distribution when you do a trick? Like I can't do lip slides. You're really good at them. I've seen footage of your lip slides.
With the faggy back lips.
Yeah, how did you learn that trick?
I learned it because my homie did nollie front boards, and I thought I wanted to learn them so bad, and I just tried a faggy back lip because I didn't want to learn his trick, and then it just ended up being like my favorite trick.
And then,
but you put your weight a lot towards the tail, and you're going backwards.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, because you have to pop it. You have to pop really hard too.
Yeah, you drop your right shoulder then that way.
Yeah.
Towards the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put all your weight on your back, like your back, your right foot.
Yeah, on the tail.
On the tail.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever got lopsided where you go?
Oh yeah, dude, that trick works. You if you don't pop high enough, you just slam.
I'm thinking. Then you like, you boom, you pearl.
You usually slam. I mean, I usually slam backwards on that trick, so
yeah.
You don't have your hands to like stop you from falling. Yeah. But you get so used to falling certain ways that like, I just know how to. I know how to like roll whenever I hit.
Yeah.
On my back.
Seems like you have no fear. Like I watch your stuff, like, this guy is just going for it.
I don't know. I've slammed a lot.
What are your thoughts on the state of like companies and like, I always want to talk about this is like back then YouTube wasn't around.
Yeah.
But nowadays there's people with careers and they film their own stuff, edit their own stuff, like Revive, for instance. What are your thoughts on that,
I mean,
YouTube
companies
and stuff.
Most skateboarders that have been skating for as long as I have don't really like that. Not that it's like that much
different.
Like, I don't know. Like, I respect like these guys. They're just having fun. Like that they can build a career out of it is crazy. And so,
Because like they monetize off their channel and
like,
stuff.
That's awesome.
But so you're telling me there's a group that frowns upon that.
Well, if you've been skating for a long time and you grew up watching skate videos and like looking up to these skateboarders and these brands, like that's my perception of skateboarding is kind of like skate videos. And skate videos would
with
be like
companies.
Really gnarly.
Yeah,
you know? These guys are filming for like years.
Yeah.
Killing themselves to put out to show you 5 minutes of footage just, to the music that they like or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's a lot of work into that. And so that's what I grew up looking at. And so I loved that. And then so YouTube is quick, you know, like you just like these guys, they just put it out real quick and it's just not the same thing to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Or to skateboarders that.
Yeah, I've always wondered that, you know, because I recreationally skate just for, you know, I'll go to the store and, you know, it's a part of me. I've always wondered that just from an outside, because I'm not in the industry. I just do it for fun.
I've always wondered what it's like to, like, grow up with the YouTube videos and then.
Oh, and then go back and watch, like, Mouse
or
something.
And then you get into, like, skate videos.
Yeah.
And then do you, like, no offense, but, like, is it weird like the YouTube guys you like?
I think that
and
the younger generation of YouTubers don't see a difference. I think that I'm more on your stance because I grew up in the 80s and 90s and I saw that happen. But I think these younger than you are like, no, that's just as legit as these other guys.
Yeah.
When I think a lot of people will disagree because
it depends what skateboarding is to you. Maybe.
Yeah. So like, are they legit? Are they? My question is: are they just as legitimate as, let's say, like a chocolate skateboard, like Girl or Chocolate or Baker or something, like Revive? The way people like the Revive skate team opposed to the Girl skate team or something.
What would
There's a difference, right? There's a difference,
you know.
Or is there? I don't know. I'm just
there
bringing
is.
It up.
But I mean. So with a regular
skate
team,
I watch their videos. I like Aaron Cairo. I watch his videos.
I mean, I've seen a bunch of the mm-hmm. YouTube videos, but mm-hmm. I guess with a normal skate company, you spend 10 years like just trying to like you got to street skate and film and kill yourself and mm-hmm. like take a lot of risks, and then if you pursue it as a career, then you're just kind of like hope that it goes somewhere. But a lot of people get really, really good and they're doing this gnarly stuff in the streets and then it doesn't turn into a career.
Then what happens?
Well, you know, sometimes people get better opportunities or they just don't take the opportunities, or, you know, like sometimes you just don't have them around. But anyways,
so what do you say? The window's really short.
I mean, definitely you get small opportunities and they're brief and they're kind of like a yes or no. And it's kind of like, you know, if it takes you 2 months to decide, that opportunity is done.
Give me an example, like a trip or a part or like
Well, just somebody will ask you if you want to skate for some brand or, you know, and like,
yeah.
Sometimes, a lot of times, if somebody asks you something like that, it's like either it's everything you wanted or it's like something that you didn't consider. I know, especially with me, like sometimes in those moments, I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. I would have like loyalty with other brands or, you know, other situations other people might be in. Like got a friend who, I don't even want to talk about it. I have a friend who just is in a situation that he could like, it kind of like hampers skateboarding for him. And the situation is just because he's doing good for somebody else. But, you know, a lot of people are like have predicaments where skateboarding might not be the best opportunity or like the best way to go.
So when
it kind of can make you like jaded or.
Yeah. And then what happens? So when you're done with like one skate career, are there other opportunities? Because I've seen people like go as like team manager, like you'd be a team manager or a rep for this company, for a shoe company. Like, so that exists.
That's pretty much the way, I mean,
it goes down, right?
I mean, I know when I was younger, I was like, yeah, I'll just skate. I didn't really think I was going to be a professional skateboarder, but I just knew I wanted to skate.
For sure.
So I was like, whatever, I'll skate for these brands. And then someday I'll probably sell their stuff to skate shops because I love skateboarding, you know.
Can you do something creatively, like artistically, like maybe graphics or stuff like that? Like skate design or as far as the graphics you would put on boards and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it just melds whatever... whatever you do in your personal life melds with what you do with skateboarding.
You heard of Dan Rogers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I grew up, going to Poway. He was one of the pros, one of the first pros besides Willie. I'm like, my friend Rich Salo's like, yeah, Dan's starting to skate with us. I'm like, who's
Dan's
that?
Dan's legend.
But that's the homie, and he would come to he went to a couple of our wrestling practices.
Oh, really?
Cause he wrestled in Iowa. And he was, I forgot what company, maybe Blockhead. I don't know who he skated for. One of those companies. And him and Tom DeLonge from Blink would skate. Sick. They would all skate in a crew.
Damn, really? That's
so sick. It'd be Dan and Tom DeLonge and my homie Rich Salo.
Tom DeLonge's sick.
He could kickflip back then.
Really?
Yeah, he was sick, dude.
Yeah, I remember the
Blink. He's a real skater. No, he skated for real.
Yeah.
People don't believe it. They're like, nah, he's that rock and roll. Like, that happened after. He was a skater, dude,
that's
for real.
Sick.
Yeah, but at our high school.
I loved Blink 182.
Oh, you do?
Before I started skating, and then I just always loved Blink 182.
He went to my high school, right?
That's sick.
Everyone ignored when they performed at the local keggers.
Really? No way.
I'm telling you, man. Like, people would be like, you know, it'd be at some backyard party, and then, you know, and then people be like, it's Tom's band.
Not give a shit. Yeah,
because they weren't on MTV yet. But then when I went to Arizona, my homies came to visit me, and they had all the CDs. The one with the cat on it.
Yeah.
You know, a couple other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, dude, he's on MTV, bro. I go, what? And then, you know, I saw him on TV, and then now he's a rock star. Yeah. But going back to Dan is, he was gnarly back then.
Yeah.
But I know now he's still kind of working in the skate industry, right?
Oh, like, really? I don't really know.
I think for America, maybe.
Oh,
is, sick. Doing some, I don't know if it's sales or whatever, but I know he's somewhat affiliated still in skateboarding.
I guess if you wanted to go that route, you have like all these connections, you know, you just tell somebody that you want to work here.
Whatever. Do you think he'd be a good guest on here if I get Dan?
Dude, I have no idea, but yeah.
I mean, would you want to see it? Do you think people would want to see it?
Yeah.
Because he's a bit of the old school, like, you know what I mean? But he was a prominent skater from
Dan's
the 90s, man.
A legend. Like, people, like, look up to him.
Mm-hmm. Laban, too. He's been on here. I want to get like a trajectory of the newer skaters, older ones, and maybe in between. Do you think that'd be a good idea? Just to get like different generations.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had Nasty Neck Face before.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Neck face. Yeah. No, he was dope. Yeah. Neck face. I would like to get someone maybe from Baker as well, but yeah. I don't know how. You know how it is with skating. It's a lot of I'm not in the industry or anything, but
yeah, it's pretty chill.
Yeah. What made you agree to get on the, to do this podcast?
My friend, my homie and business partner, loves your podcast and
can I give him a shout out?
Yeah. Jorge.
Shout out to Jorge.
Hidalgo,
Yeah. He skates too.
He skates a little bit. He's about to build a mini ramp in his yard though.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah. So thank you, Jorge, for bringing Sean.
He definitely skates. Yeah. I haven't ever skated with him.
Okay. So he's seen it and he goes, "Hey, you should get on."
Yeah, I don't even know how. And then you hit me up and I was down. Oh, probably from Norman. Yeah, from Norman for sure. Do you know Norman?
Yeah, dude, that's the homie.
Yeah, Norman's a shit.
Norman's gnarly.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he's a beast.
Yeah.
He's got so much power.
Dude.
He could ollie over.
He could ollie over this. Yeah. It's insane.
And this is about almost five feet.
It's too high.
Yeah. I knew something wasn't right was up with him at North Hollywood Park. You know, there's a lower area than there's a higher area.
The stage.
Mm-hmm. He ollied from the low ground point up to the big stage point, just flat ground, boom, and I go, oh my god.
He's got insane pop.
Yeah, he's getting tech too, dude.
Yeah,
I've been shout out to Norman. Yeah,
what up, Norman?
So Norman, he reached out to you or you reached out to him?
I didn't know. Jorge, I think he talked to him. Didn't really know because and then all of a sudden I got a DM from you and I was like, did Norman tell him that? I don't know.
He brought you up. He goes, "Hey, he mentioned you."
Yeah.
He did DM me and I go, "Oh yeah, for sure." Cuz I think I was already, it was great timing cuz I'm always open for skateboarders to be on this podcast. I can't get enough. Usually once in a blue moon I'll get a skater. Like we've only had a handful.
Yeah.
You know. But because we've had a lot of comedians. And I'm like, you know, I like comedians, but I want to like switch it up. I want more musicians, more even like we've never had a trap rapper. I would want a trap rapper. I want more female musicians, female rappers, whatever.
Broaden the spectrum.
Yeah, just a broad spectrum. Although I'm a big fan of the Nine Club. That's how I listened to your whole interview.
Really?
That's why I already knew about the Tony Hawk story. I'm like, okay, I know about that.
That's cool.
But then it was like serendipitous, I guess you would say, when Hillary was on here.
Oh yeah.
And she goes, "Oh yeah, and there's this guy named Sean." I go, "Oh, he," because I had already agreed, you had already committed to this.
That's funny.
"He's about to get on here in a few weeks." She goes,
"That
oh,
is crazy.
That's crazy,
dude." Those things line up.
It just lined up because she was like, "Oh yeah, Sean." He was like, because I knew you worked at a skate park in the neighboring town. Yeah. I knew all that stuff.
Yeah.
I knew you're from Missouri. Yeah. I knew you skated for Birdhouse.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Damn it. I just lost my train of
thought. No, it's okay. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ask you, like, as a pro skater, like, does lifting weights or, like, exercises come into play at all?
Yeah, yeah. So Ren was asking, as a pro skater, does lifting weights and what kind of physical activities do you do outside of skateboarding to improve your skateboarding?
They're definitely, you know, if you're skating for Red Bull, I know that they encourage like weights and stuff, but if
that must be a nice check, dude.
Yeah.
That's
most
what
skateboarders don't.
Red Bull, dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would definitely help depending on what, but if you bulk up too much, like upper body, it definitely makes you less flexible. And you can see it.
I think skating. With your body type is a perfect. You want to be skinnier, right? Yeah, I'm a skater. Yeah. You don't want. For you know sure. what I'm saying? I'm sure there's a big, bulkier, fat dudes that could kickflip.
Dude, I.
But
remember,
you have the perfect, and not only that, I'm, is your leverage.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty tall. I always feel yeah, like yeah, I wish I was shorter.
Why?
Because I feel like that. It's just better, like center of gravity or something.
Like Day
I just,
One. Day One song style.
Yeah, Day One's so good. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
No, you got no. You're good, man. You're good. So okay, I think we're man. That flew by. I love skaters because, boom, just
too
yeah.
easy to talk.
Oh,
I got something for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you got some presents, huh?
Yeah, this is actually from
oh,
Jorge.
Yeah, thank you.
I got.
He
avocados.
Just brought me oranges. Thank you, Jorge. I love avocados.
Got a bunch.
Can he have it's two like,
yeah,
of them too?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so
no,
much.
My business partner, he
okay.
has like 400 avocados on his
oh, that's what's
on
up.
His property.
I'm a big fan of thank you, Jorge.
I have like 100 in my
thank
car.
Thank you. Now's the time. Thank you so much, Jorge. Can we? I want to promote if you a video part or like if you have a website, video part, sponsors you want to shout out, all that. Yo, Instagram.
Dude, actually, I should bring up.
Yeah, please.
I started a company. It's a therapy company.
Okay.
It's called Avos. But
okay.
It's
is
so
your website?
You were asking me earlier about like what do you do, like how does skateboarding go after you're done skating?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I guess with me right now, currently, like all the injuries that you get from skateboarding.
Yeah, we didn't even get to
send
that.
Send you to physical therapy and shit a lot.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Knee.
There's
injuries.
This. Yeah. Well, there's. I would always sprain my ankles mm-hmm. and I would hurt my ankles. And the physical therapist would tell me to stand on a tennis ball every day for 20 minutes under each foot.
Damn.
To help reduce, I don't know, I guess.
Inflammation.
Help get the blood flowing
yeah.
into the like arch of your foot and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Would you roll it around your foot around
yeah.
it? Okay.
But so I would try to like stand on a tennis ball every day for 20 minutes, and it was hard to do that. Like it takes a lot of that's like 40 minutes or
yeah.
I guess 20 minutes if it's under each foot. So I just started making shoes that had a tennis ball in it so
Whoa.
That I could walk around the house like a slide.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Eventually, I just I learned how to like 3D print and 3D model.
That's
so I would
dope.
Just make these at home.
Yeah.
And then. So, I don't know. I just pursued that to kind of like see where it would go. It's like the oddest thing. It's like a slide,
mm-hmm.
like what you're wearing right there.
Yeah, a slider.
But I built like a ball into the shoe.
Like right here.
Uh huh. And so, you're just meant to wear it for like 10 or 20 minutes in
mm-hmm,
the morning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it stretches out the arch of your foot.
That's dope.
Like increases the blood flow.
Yeah, yeah. And then this is the thing you're working on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there a website or a place
yeah,
where people could check this out?
AvosTherapy.com.
Can you spell it out to the camera?
AvosTherapy.com.
That's great.
But that's my business partner. He's.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah.
So when did you, so definitely check that out.
Yeah.
What about a lot of your skate parts you could check on YouTube.
I guess if you just look up Birdhouse and my name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess
are you guys working on a video now?
I'm filming right now,
mm-hmm.
but for what exactly it's going to be, I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we put out a video called Beautiful Mutants. Like,
that's what's up.
Maybe like a year and a half ago. So that was the last part I put out. So
okay,
you
so definitely
check
out Beautiful
want.
Mutants.
Yeah.
Websites or, oh, your Instagram?
It's Hale, H-A-L-E.
Just H-A-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then are we missing something? Facebook?
No, that's pretty
okay.
much it.
Okay, dude, that was sick, man. Thanks for coming,
easy,
man.
No,
yeah,
chill.
Easy. I
want
to
oh,
talk
wait,
to
actually,
you. Yeah, go ahead. Go
I
ahead.
Got something else for you.
What else? What
I just I have a board that has a UFO on it.
Oh, I'm down, dude.
I remember
I'm
in
so,
one of your podcasts
I'm
you
so
talked
into
about.
That. I'm so into that. I'm into reptilians,
yeah.
all that. I don't talk about it right now because I just try to keep it general.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to sound like a crazy person.
I know.
Because my brother was gonna.
I saw that.
Yeah,
because
my brother was gonna.
That shit.
Tell my mom that I was insane. They're gonna. He said they're gonna check me into a mental hospital.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Funny.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's just
yeah.
Fun.
I love. I love sci-fi, dude.
I know.
It's great. Thanks for that. That's really thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll talk afterwards. I have some more stories about the stuff I've been researching.
Some secret stuff.
Do you think that it'd be safe ground here too? Because I try to keep that outside of this platform.
For sure.
Because, you know, although I talk about all kinds
of
stuff.
I think it's pretty fun. I mean, a lot of people.
Because I want to get more UFO people in that field.
Funny.
Like, you know, David
Bob Lazar.
Yeah, all that. But I'm just like afraid of, like, you know,
people
like,
think
they might
crazy.
Think I'm crazy, dude.
For sure. I know. It's crazy how, like, it's like one side or the other, but people take it's weird. People take it so seriously or something. That
yeah, but no one really knows anything.
I know. You
day,
don't know
we
shit.
We don't know any. I mean, these are all theories.
You don't know
or
anything. You
not
don't
just
know.
Theories, but it's just like, dude, like, you know, even reptilians, I know, like, I do believe in them, but I've never seen one.
Yeah.
You know, I maybe felt their energy or like in a dream I've seen some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I just. You know what I always trip on is, you said something was serendipitous earlier.
Yeah.
I just trip out on how much, like, communication between people ends up being so, like, you know, like, you'll think about somebody you haven't thought about in, like, 5 years, mm-hmm. and then they'll hit you up that day.
Yeah, that happened to me the other day. My friend, I haven't talked to him in, like, 10 years, just he hit me up. He's doing a crazy documentary on street dogs in India. This fool moved to India and just started studying street dogs. And,
whoa.
Like, it was like gang type shit. Like, that one dog will rule this street. And
oh,
he
whoa.
Moved to India.
Damn.
His friend came to visit Wolves. Him. Hunter got pink eye, like, the first day.
Damn.
So, it was gnarly. It was gnarly for him out there.
Yeah.
Right? Gnarly. Like, being a white dude in India.
Yeah.
He was out there for years.
Damn.
Shout out to Jesse. He just has a documentary called Pariah.
That sounds
and
cool.
And so I'm going to help him out. I want to do either a Zoom interview to help promote this it's this crazy documentary film on, like, these dogs in India, like these street dogs.
Rad. That
yeah.
sounds interesting.
Yeah,
they're like,
I mean,
wolves.
He, dude,
they
he
turn
spent
into
his
facts.
Whole lot, like his savings, and
damn, that's cool.
Yeah, he's in New York right now, but he hit me up. He hit me up, like, going back to what you said. Like, I was thinking about him.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, he just hit me up, and I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. How you doing? And we just caught up yesterday.
That's cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I just think it's funny that a lot of people think, just because we have people telling us this is how it all works, that it has to be that way, even though
it's interesting
really
to
just
me.
A trial
either way,
and error
to me, it's just another
game.
Angle on it.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. I like to hear. I know this. Don't listen to the news that you see just on Fox or CNN. You know, that's. I don't
yeah.
listen to that. I like to look outside of that
mm-hmm.
and figure out, okay, well, what's this person
it's
saying?
Just, I think in America you get so trusting about where you get all your information that
yeah.
sometimes it, like, makes you not want to look outside of what you're being told, because it's so easy
just to turn on the
it's
TV.
It's just interesting to like realize that things could be completely different, and
yeah.
to never even give that a thought is kind of funny.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just
yeah
an interesting thing.
I think that whatever, like, where the herd's going, go the other way.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? All these people are tripping. Oh, wear gloves. No, no.
For sure.
But it's
yeah,
like,
that's
dude,
the...
What if the shit don't even exist? I don't know. I mean, it could be a whole hoax. I don't know that.
I have friends that trip out on what happens during big things, like what's going on right now.
Dude,
I don't really get into it, but
I
had one homie who was telling me, he's like, yeah, the government just tried to push all this crazy stuff through Congress. I think it was about, personal information. I think it was about the government being able to just read your text messages or something like that. And, like, right whenever the coronavirus thing, like, blew up and we started quarantining, I remember somebody was like, dude, they just tried to pass this crazy bill
oh, yeah.
that was going to take away a lot of our privacy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right then. Because
not only
no one
that,
was looking.
Yeah.
All the news were
oh, 5G. I think there's other things going on, too, with the 5G
yeah.
and then, like, just like this universal vaccine. I think there's a whole thing, like, to control. I think it's about control. Like,
it's just worth people considering.
Yeah, like, for sure. I like that you said that. Yeah. but I'm going to be open to that. Now with Zoom, because when we start doing Zoom, maybe I can hit up some of, like, people in that field
yeah.
and be like, hey, Stevie Weeby Show.
Yeah. That'd be all
cool. Right.
That'd
so
be
definitely check out Sean Hales, all of his skating, all of his video parts. What was that?
Check out the shoes, Avos.
Yeah, Avos. Go to the website, purchase some Avos.
I mean,
Avos.
If you have any foot pain.
Yeah.
I mean, most people do.
Yeah, definitely.
I did, all I'm trying to do is make it easier to
function.
Incorporate like at-home physical therapy, you know, just make it really easy to help your body.
There you go. Avos, can you say the website again?
Avostherapy.com.
Avos.com.
Avos.com. Therapy.
Avostherapy.com.
Yeah. Or you could do Avos shoes.
Or Avos shoes. Go to the website, purchase Avos therapy.
You don't have to purchase, but it's just...
Check it out. Yeah. Check it out. All right. With that being said, we do have a Patreon attached to the show, patreon.com/StevieWee, if you want to help support the platform. The newest patrons this week are Keith T., Dr. Daystrom, and Ryan. I have a website. If you go to www.steviewebyshow.com, get yourself a shirt or a hoodie. Go to Instagram/QUANGOU. I have a EP on my Bandcamp, steviewebybandcamp.com. Ode to My Pops is still out. Thanks for the support, for people who've been buying it. There's a music video called Goodbye Balloon, also on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/steviewebe. There's no Little Ray's World this week, but we do have a P.O. Box if you want to send stuff in. Send your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Dude, that was sick. Yes. Thank you, buddy.